income, you've lost about $200 a year in purchasing power. Now, to get that down to 3% or 2% or zero is the best thing that any administration can do, and that's the real thrust of the Ford Dole administration. In addition, we have President Ford's introduced plans for catastrophic health insurance, which is a particular concern to senior citizens. Also, the President's advocated Social Security benefit increases, and we've come around for food stamp reform and other things that help senior citizens. But the first order of business must be stopping inflation. President Ford's cut it in half. He's already performed a great service for all Americans. We're going to do better the next 4 years.
Okay. But specifically, some of the things that senior citizens groups are asking for, things like increased Social Security payments, things like a raise on the floor of the Social Security income level, which is about $167. They want to have general revenues put into the whole Social Security pot along with the employer and employee part, medical care security system. You've been an opponent of spending. These will involve spending. How do you feel about the proposal?
Well, we haven't been an opponent of spending in that area. Those aren't, you're not talking about welfare programs, you're talking about Social Security, which I strongly support. I support it strongly. In fact, I've introduced legislation to increase the earnings limit, the second thing you referred to. I've also co-sponsored legislation for catastrophic health insurance. So in all those areas, we've been strong proponents, so has President Ford. If I go back to my original premise, in addition to these specifics, the best thing we can do for senior citizens is stop the growth of inflation. In other words, they don't want the cost of groceries to rise and rise and rise and their purchasing power to shrink. That's the worst tax of all. And with all these spending programs advocated by Governor Carter, they're going to be in bad shape.
But hasn't President Ford traditionally been an opponent of increasing Social Security payments?
No. I think his record is very good. He wants to make the system financially sound and not start dumping money into the system from general revenues, because there's a fear that then you're about to start another welfare program. This isn't welfare. For the most part, somebody on Social Security has earned this right, earned the benefits. We don't want to make it a welfare program. I think the recipients have a right to have that trust fund protected, and that's a responsibility of the Congress.
Okay. In Ohio, on the ballot, there's an issue that calls for a constitutional amendment that in Ohio's constitution that would make it necessary for there to be legislative approval for any nuclear power plant to be built or to be expanded, and also which would legislatively mandate that the companies who run those power plants compensate any victims should there be a nuclear accident at a plant. We're moving, it seems, toward nuclear energy. Would you favor, whether on a state or federal level, a legislative mandate for approval of new power plants that are nuclear or compensation of victims during any particular disaster?
Well, I'm not familiar with that constitutional amendment, so I probably shouldn't comment on that one. I think we have to provide safeguards. But to say that I would get drawn into that without even having looked at it, I'm not about to do that.
Do you feel that companies should compensate any victims of an accident if there should be one?
Oh, because of negligence, we should do that in any case.
Okay. Finally, the League of Conservation Voters recently put out its ratings of senators' voting records on the environment. Your record fell far below average, which was 44. Your record, I believe, was 11 with them on environmental issues, which you voted. What do you offer, and what does your ticket offer for environmentalists?
Well, I don't get carried away with ratings. I don't know who controls that. It sounds like a Ralph Nader organization to me. Any more than I would say, that, as I have said and will say again, that Senator Mondale's national security rating is zero. And I hope when he comes to Dayton tomorrow, you'll ask him about his defense record. It affects Wright-Patterson Air Base, $60 million in defense contracts in Montgomery County, $40 million in Greene County, the M1 tank in Lima, Ohio. Let's get down to the nuts and bolts of this campaign. How many jobs does Senator Mondale cost this country? He votes for all the welfare programs. I think it's time we start talking about jobs. But as far as the conservation, I think I have a good record in conservation. I don't know what issues they refer to, whether they even... Can you give me a list of the...
Yeah.
strip mining bill. But again, I don't, without my voting record here, without your some reference to it, I just think I have a good record as far as environmental issues are concerned, and certainly in conservation areas, I have a good record. I've been on the Senate Agriculture Committee. I was on the Public Works Committee. We worked on the Clean Air and the Clean Water bills, sponsored many amendments in that field. So to suggest that because some rating group, probably very liberal, I would assume they're very, very liberal. I think Everest got 100, that'd be enough to convince me that they're very liberal. That doesn't do much for me. It doesn't do much to inform the electorate either.
Okay, he's going to just get a little cutaway to cover that.
Well, maybe I can comment on the rally again. I thought if there was any misunderstanding, I'm just suggesting I'll go clear back the debate again. If they want to dredge up Watergate and the pardon, we can take a look at history and who was in power during some of the wars. And, I think that's clear enough. And they talk about the economy. They talk about unemployment. And I'm going to suggest that, again, it's a fact that much of their boasting about the unemployment took place during a wartime economy. You know, that's not really very confusing to me.
Well, when you talk about who was in power during the war, that implies responsibility for those wars.
Well, not necessarily. I think it implies, my point has been throughout that we've got to be prepared. We trained with broomsticks to start World War II. And I just don't want to get in that position. That's why I keep pounding away for a strong defense and a Bondale's record and Carter's efforts to trim $15 billion last year, $5 to $7 billion, he says, this year. I don't really think that's too confusing.
Well, were the Democrats to blame for a lack of preparedness in those wars?
Well, someone was. We weren't prepared. Maybe it was, they had a Congress, too. And Congress has to take some of the responsibility. But I think there was the tendency to think that everything is going to be fine. We don't have to prepare. And I don't want to fall back into that again. Oh,
it's me.
How are you doing?
Anything about the scandal sheets that we talked about today by Jimmy Carter?
Who?
Jimmy Carter said there was a number of scandal sheets that Republicans sent to Ohio and a number of states. Do you know anything about that?
No, the only thing I hadn't read, Playboy. What was he talking about?
He was talking about a Republican newsletter that was sent to voters.
I heard him this morning on one of the networks talking about Heartland or something.
That's correct.
But I haven't had a chance to read Heartland. I don't know what specific things did he say.
He just mentioned that there were some scurrilous remarks in the...
I can't hardly believe that. I haven't read it. Until I had read it, I wouldn't want to comment on it. But if you could give me one of the examples, then I could...
I forgot the example.
Yeah.
Senator Dole, you mentioned Watergate just a couple minutes ago.
I know
that during the Watergate incident, you spoke out against a lot of the things that the Washington Post said. Can you tell me why at the time you felt that the Republicans were innocent and were not doing anything dishonest when in reality so much was going on? How is it that you were unaware of so many of these things that were going on?
Well, I guess because we didn't have any knowledge of it. That's the best proof. Hindsight's always perfect, but I would recite what Senator Ervin said in the final report of the Watergate investigation. He said, had the campaign been left to Senator Robert Dole, I was the chairman, and Lawrence O'Brien, who was a Democrat chairman, there wouldn't have been a Watergate. So
yes.
Hindsight's perfect. We didn't have the facts.
Being in the Republican Party, don't you think you should know what is going on in your party?
Well, that's much like we were just talking about the wars, If we're going to say everybody who's a Republican is somehow responsible for Watergate, that's the same argument Senator Mondale raises, and it's not very valid.
Who's to blame for the lowness of the campaign? As voters seem to feel that the campaign is low at a low ebb. A lot of nasty remarks going around, not very much talk about issues. Who's to blame for that? Any party?
I don't know. I've been in a lot of campaigns, and it's always about this time of the year when everybody's on the low road. That's what everyone repeats. I don't really think that's the case. We're making a very serious judgment next Tuesday, and it's tough business. If someone starts a personal attack on me, or if we start a personal attack on Governor Carter, that's something else. But to talk tough about the issues, this is a tough business we're in. We're going to talk about taxes. We're going to talk about our defense. That doesn't mean we disparage Governor Carter. It means we don't agree with his positions.
Senator, there's been a number of moral and religious issues brought up in this year's campaign. How do you feel those relate back to northwestern Ohio?
Last question, please.
I don't know how they relate back to northwestern Ohio.
How important do you think people here think they are?
I can go down and check on them all, but I haven't been down there yet. Maybe I could answer it on the way out of town, but I think Americans want strong moral leadership. That's what you mean, whether it's in this part of Ohio or in Kansas or Pontiac, Michigan, where I was Sunday with Billy Graham. Margo was there. And,
Senator,
thank you very much.
Which of the amendments are you in favor of? The one that just gives it back to the states or the one which would prohibit abortion?
Well, you get into the wording is where you have the problems. I've never had anybody show me one that I thought was, that would, in other words, I think there ought to be some exceptions. Some they say it ought to be a flat ban. I don't agree with that. But I'd vote for the broad amendment if they provided some exceptions.
Which exceptions would you?
Well, you know, the health of the mother and risk to the mother and incest, rape, and things in that area. But that's where you really get bogged down with the amendment. And now President Ford has another approach on a state-by-state. I'm not certain that's the right approach either.
So you differ with him on that?
Yeah, I've said so.
Thank you very much.
Senator, you are running late.
I said so again.
Thank you very much. I'll drink a little pineapple juice here first. It's a lot better for you in peanut butter, I'll tell you that. Well, I'm very pleased to be here. I couldn't understand why all the people here, and somebody said it was going to have a drawing. First prize is an all-expense-paid trip to Plains, Georgia. But you had to be present to win, and Governor Carter's not in the audience, so I don't think he'll have to get back on his own next Tuesday night. Now, I see a number of good signs, a number of Ford signs, and I've seen a few Carter signs. There are always two or three Carter signs in a crowd this size, so we're doing all right. Let me just take a few moments of your time. We can't hear it, huh? Well, I didn't. There. How's that? Yep. Okay. Yeah, let's bring it over on the side here. Doesn't look like a very good system here. Huh? Can you hear me in the back now? Well, we'll do the best we can. I don't know. I did. Can you hear me on the right? Yeah. They can always hear me on the right. Can you hear me on the left? Well, I'm a moderate, so that's all right. Yeah. A Well, I want to say the first thing we need in Washington, of course, is the election of President Ford in January. For another 4-year term starting in January. But we need in the Congress at that time to help him outstanding young men like Carty here on my left. And Carty's going to win because he's been working hard. He's a man of personal integrity and honesty. And we look forward to seeing him in the Congress for many, many years to come with your help. And one of the real stalwarts in the Senate of the United States is Bob Taft. I know you're working for Bob Taft. Let me talk, and I'm sorry we can't hear in the rear, but I'll talk as loudly as I can. You know, there are a lot of good reasons to vote for President Ford, but I want to talk about one very specifically. That is about peace and strength in America. And I would address my remarks primarily to the mothers in this audience and to the young men in this audience, and I guess grandmothers too, and fathers and grandfathers. If that leaves anybody, I'll address it to you too. But it's very important. I think sometimes we take for granted the things that we have. Now tonight when you go home, if you turn on your television or your radio or pick up your nightly newspaper, you're not going to read about body counts or about some military funeral or some memorial service or about some young man being drafted and sent off to war in some far-off place, leaving his schooling or leaving his job, because we're at peace in the world. We're at peace in the world because we're strong, and we're strong because of President Ford. In the surveys conducted in this country, the undecided vote, the indications are that women are undecided on the basis of about 2-1. And they're concerned about peace. They want to know where President Ford stands, and they know where President Ford stands. He stands for a strong America. He believes in a strong America. They don't know where Governor Carter stands. They know he wants to cut the defense budget. He said $15 billion in 1975. This year he says $5 to $7 billion. But he hasn't told us how. He hasn't said where he would cut the defense budget. I haven't seen the Russians contemplating any cuts in their defense budget. And I just say to this magnificent crowd, as far as I'm concerned, the primary consideration, and a primary consideration come next Tuesday, is who can best provide the leadership, who has the experience, and President Ford has that experience. And oh yes, we're concerned about unemployment. We're concerned about inflation. President Ford has reduced the rate of inflation by over half. The unemployment rate is going down. But we're not, he can be for Carter. He needs him. You've been reading those bad magazines again. Oh, yes, we have compassion, and President Ford has compassion. Let me talk just a minute about inflation. Let's assume you've retired and you live on fixed income, say $3,000 a year. And the rate of inflation is 10%. That's $300 a year. Just like a tax would take $300 out of your savings or out of your fixed income, inflation has done that. It's robbed you of that much purchasing power. And President Ford has reduced that more than half. It's now less than 5%.
And what about the programs advocated by Governor Carter? We figured up the cost of five of those programs. The cost came to $103 billion. Now, he hasn't told the American people how he's going to pay for those programs, but it's got to be one of two ways. It's got to be more inflation, which Americans can't stand and can't tolerate, or it's got to be higher taxes. Now, Governor Carter has said that Americans don't want their taxes lowered. Anybody here doesn't want their taxes lowered? We'll have a doctor check you over as soon as we can. He's also said that those above the median income, families earning more than the median income, should have their taxes or would have their taxes increased. Now, I'll admit at the time he said that, he didn't know what the median income was for an American family, even though he'd been running for president for 3 years or 2 years. And it's not $50,000, as he said later. The median income for an American family is $14,000. And President Ford thinks the middle-income Americans ought to have a tax reduction, not a tax increase. And Governor Carter talks about tax reform. He talks about the rich and all their benefits. And he stands before audiences. And he talks about the average American, the working man and woman, and about that terrible tax system we have, and he calls it a disgrace. He said that in the National Convention. Then a week later, he went to New York. He met with a group of small businessmen, Henry Ford and some other small businessmen. And they sat down in a little club there where businessmen, small businessmen, like to go. It's called Club 21. Not exactly a McDonald's, but it was a nice little place. And Carter told Henry Ford, that is, don't worry about any tax. I won't change the tax laws for a year. And then this is that same Governor Carter who took $41,000 off his tax bill because of the investment tax credit. And then he talks about loopholes. And I just ask, is this a loophole, Governor Carter? I don't think it was, but is it? He talks about loopholes. But I say President Ford wants real tax reform. He wants your exemptions raised from $750 to $1,000 per person, and that would be a real tax benefit for middle-income Americans. That's the program advocated by President Ford. And let me say, finally, I'm a little bit hoarse. I had a debate with Mondale, and I'm standing in that draft for 75 minutes. It's that constant exposure to hot air. It does something to you. But I want to say, spend your time working for Carter and Andy Douglas. Andy had to go to another meeting, and others who are running, and Bob Taft, and for President Ford. Don't worry about me, because I figured out if Ford makes it, I'm going to make it. And I would just say, in conclusion, you've got a lot to think about the next week, and I hope there are some Democrats and independents and undecided voters in this audience. I've talked about tax reform. I've talked about peace and strength. And don't forget, we're respected by our friends and by our potential adversaries around the world because of the firm leadership of President Ford, who's met with 124 foreign leaders and visited some 14 foreign countries. And I think that's important. I think it's important to young men that we no longer have a draft in America. And I think it's important to mothers and grandmothers and others that their sons can finish school or finish their job and do what they want without worrying about leaving their education or leaving a job to fight some war somewhere. Thank you. we're concerned about health care for senior citizens. President Ford's advocated and proposed a catastrophic health insurance program. We're concerned about government spending, and we're concerned about inflation, and we're concerned about your rights as an individual. And every time Governor Carter advocates more spending or some new program, it just sort of nibbles away. We're also opposed to forced busing. And Mr. Busing, and Mr. Ashley is a proponent of forced busing, and my counterpart, Senator Mondale, is known as Mr. Busing in the Senate. And so I just say, keep some of these things in mind. Let's talk about individual liberty and individual rights and individual decision-making. And if some in this audience are concerned about agriculture, as you may be, take a look at our program and take a look at the program they advocate. Government grain reserves to be used to depress market prices. High price supports and acreage allotments. We believe the American farmer ought to have freedom. We believe the American farmer wants to get the government off his back, and he's getting off the farmer's back under our programs. So, just finally, I believe we have the philosophy that attracts the majority of Americans, again, whether they're Democrats or Republicans or independents. We represent the moderate to conservative philosophy in America. Carter and Mondale represent the ultra-liberal philosophy in America, which we think is a discarded philosophy. It hasn't worked. They spent more and more of your money, more and more programs, more and more interference. And what have you got to show for? A great big national debt. That's all they've got to show for. They've been tried, they've been tested, and they failed. So let's send Cardi Finkbeiner to Congress. Let's help this area. Where is it? Let's send you to Congress. And let's stand up for America next Tuesday. And let's work with our neighbors and our friends for the next 7 days. And if you'll do that for just 7 days, President Ford will do it for you for 4 more years. Thank you very much. And I just suggested that would be a role that I'd certainly have an interest in. If I could maybe help resolve this sticky problem. I agreed that was a pretty good idea. On those carries, he had said, well, you're going to do this, but I have some interest in all of the veterans and handicapped.
Today, or you ought to say that today, or hit on this today.